everybody on the phone right now is one of my favorite authors, Rhys Bowen. Her new Royal Spinus novel, From Cradle to Grave, comes out on November 18th, and she's on the phone. Hey, Rhys.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is our 17th interview.
Is it really? Oh, well. you've been with me through most of my series, then, in that case.
Well, actually, you know what? I went back and looked at the first book of yours I read was 2018, Ghost of Christmas Past. And from then, I've been with you, though, the rest of the series ways.
Good. Wonderful.
I don't remember what that book was about, but I'm sure I enjoyed it.
yeah, that was a Molly Murphy book, one. So, yeah, this is a Royal Spinus.
Can you remember back the plots of all your books, like going back to the beginning when you have to write new novels for the same characters?
I remember the plots. You know, one thing I should have, if I'd been very efficient, I would have had a Bible for everything. Because, you know, sometimes I can't remember what was someone's maid called when they came and stayed once, you know, so then I have to look back and find it. So if I'd been an efficient writer, there would have been a lovely Bible of all the maids I could have looked at then, but I'm not. But I do remember the plots, yeah. If someone says to me, oh, you know, what was so-and-so about, you know, I can tell you easily.
Well, I think you are pretty efficient. This is the 19th book in this series. Molly is, what, 22 books in, 23 books in?
She is, yeah, 22, right.
So you're doing something right.
Well, they're managing to escape not being killed in every book, which is very good, isn't it?
Yeah. So the new book, From Cradle to Grave, I love all your books, but there's especially this book, I love it, and I don't want to give a spoiler, so I'm going to give a hint. This is the book when you finally do something that I think all the fans of the series has been wanting you to do for a long, long time.
That is so true. And it's not the finally will they, won't they with the handsome guy. You know, it's something much more dramatic than that, I think. So, yeah, it was very satisfying. So.
I was whooping and hawing and yelling and screaming. I was so happy.
Yes. I agree. And we can't tell you what it is. You have to buy the book and read it.
Did you know you were going to do that? Because don't you just write on the fly?
I do, yeah. I wasn't quite sure. And it just, you know, things happen along the book with Queenie and with various other characters.
Yeah.
That just sort of happened as it went along, and it gave me a perfect opportunity.
So in this new book, we've gotten past now. The king has given up his throne for the Simpson woman. They've been kicked out of England. They're done. I don't think we'll hear from them anymore unless for some reason Georgie has to go to Germany in future books. But
they live in France now, so yeah. Georgie might go to France and meet them. But they're out of the picture now, much to her disgust. You know, Mrs. Simpson quite expected to be queen.
Yeah.
She's rather annoyed now.
And Hitler's coming more to power. People are getting worried about it. Mummy's still in Germany. She's not leaving. It doesn't seem like anytime soon. And everyone's worried about her.
Yeah.
So in this book, we get a lot of Zuzu, a lot of Belinda, some grandfather, some Fig, and Georgie investigating murders.
Yeah. I think this is a book where we really see Georgie trying to balance her private life with her life as a sleuth. You know, she's battling. She has a new nanny, which we will find out very quickly is not going to be the nanny she's going to love.
Yeah.
And then she is roped in by various friends to solve a series of baffling murders. Or we don't think they are murders, they're accidents. But there's too many of them, and they're all to the same sort of person that it makes Georgie suspicious.
Yeah, and it's really weird because in reading this, is it all the royals, or was it everybody? Because you can't be breastfeeding her anymore. You can only spend a half an hour with your kid. Is that how it always is? Was it just with the royals? Were most families like that?
It was any upper class family, and in the days when you still had servants, which changed, of course, after World War II, everything changed a lot because. Everybody came back from the war and said, no, I'm not going to go into service. And so a lot of the big houses just, stopped operating that way. But it was quite true that your child was, if you see Downton Abbey too, I think the Dowager Countess, Maggie Smith, says in one of the things, you know, the, oh, motherhood, and someone says to her, but you only saw your children for an hour today, an hour a day at tea time. She said, yes, but it was a very intense hour or something like that. But no, you had a nanny. The nanny looked after the child, and it was brought down to you nicely ironed in a clean dress at 4 o'clock, and you played with the child for an hour, and it went away again. That was how things were done. If you see the Queen, you know, I mean, I know she's royal, makes a big difference. If you see the Netflix thing of the Queen,
yeah,
she's saying what she wanted to be more involved with her children, but because she wasn't allowed near them ever, when she did get a chance to bathe them or something, she didn't know how to.
But she's the Queen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, this all changed after the war. Another thing, but I mean, a thing that the upper class still do to a certain extent is to send a child away to boarding school at 7.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite normal among, you know, among the real upper class, that the child goes to boarding school at 7. And my husband, his parents held off a bit, I think, because his... well, because it was the war. He was born, he was that age in the middle of the war. And so they held off until he was 10. But, you know, in other circumstances, he would have gone at 7. And it's so stupid and so wrong because, you know, most little boys are so dependent on their families still at that age that I think it just makes them shut off.
So back to the book, Georgie's investigating these murders, and then she finds out there may be a connection to Darcy, her husband, so she's even more intent now on trying to solve this, and when she gets the right clues and the right information, Darcy's able to help bring in Scotland Yard and the police, and they all work together to try and stop whoever this person is killing all these people.
Yeah, I think, well, Darcy, she thinks Darcy made, when it's a young friend of Zuzu's who has died in a car accident, and then it's someone they hear about, a friend of their friend's who's died in a boating accident, and then it's one of Belinda's cousin who has died in a mountaineering accident. These are all young, upper-class young men, and they are all doing something that they love. So it just seems the fact that three or four of them within a couple of weeks just seems completely not coincidental. And so Georgie wonders whether someone is killing the eldest sons of aristocrats. And therefore Darcy would be in line. You know, Darcy's the eldest son of Lord Kilhenny. So whether he's in danger too. So that makes it very personal for her to solve it.
And then there's a whole situation with Queenie, no spoilers, but she says the wrong thing to the wrong person, and it leads to a whole situation that's kind of funny, but not, but it kind of all works out in the end.
Nobody's ever going to rein in Queenie and make her behave properly, I don't think.
No.
I mean, you're stuck with someone who's going to be, she's a good cook, which is why we're keeping her now, but she's awful in everything else, isn't she?
Yeah. ReeseBowen.com is your website, and you're doing an appearance at the Poison Pen on November 18th in conversation with Julius Benson Fleming. So that'll be fun.
And I'm also doing an event at the Book Passage in Corte Madera in California on the 22nd. I love to see people in person. You know, since COVID, we haven't done the book tours nearly as much. And while I don't miss traveling to a new place every day, I do miss seeing people who've been with my books since the very beginning.
Do you ever get to do book clubs via like Zoom or through the
All the time, yeah, I do. I mean, that's the good thing about Zoom is I meet with book clubs across the country all the time, and that's lovely too. But it's not the same as having someone come up to you and saying, "I bought your very first book." You know, that's lovely.
So the new Molly Murphy mystery will come out there. You wrote with your daughter, and I think it's March. She investigates the disappearance of a female scientist during a parade. She's also having some financial situations, and she doesn't want to ask Sid, her friend Sid and Gus, but she might have to for some money. So she's investigating another mystery, but we'll talk about that when that book gets closer.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about that is, you know, the musical Suffs that's just come out.
Yeah.
It's all the same people that we have in the book. It's the whole suffrage movement that we're dealing with, which is such fun.
And do you, I mean, do you keep envisioning, is your daughter getting closer to taking over the series yet?
She's handling each, you know, we talk through plots, we plan things, and then she writes quite a lot of it now, so that's great.
And then how's your standalone for next summer coming?
It's all done, and it's all ready to come out. It's just got to go through the various proofreads and things, but yeah, it's going to be called, well, we don't, at the moment it's going to be called, marketing sometimes has different ideas.
Yeah.
It's going to be called From Sea to Sky, SKYE, the Island of Sky, and it's about an elderly, very famous writer who's getting dementia and can't finish her last book, and a young woman is hired to finish it for her, goes up to the Island of Sky and becomes convinced it's the woman's own story.
Oh.
So, and it's not a fictional murder at all. It's a real one.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah.
And then the holidays are coming up. Do you got anything special planned for Christmas, Thanksgiving? Are you having the family over?
We always have the whole family comes here for Christmas. So, I've got a daughter and a son who live close by, but the rest of them come in. So we will have, I think, 15 for Christmas again, which is always quite chaotic, but very lovely.
Now, are you in Arizona or California for the holidays?
No, I'm in California for we're normally in Arizona during this time of year, but John, my husband's got medical problems. He's got a compression fracture in his spine.
So oh, no.
So we will probably go to Arizona in January and be there, but we're here right through the holidays now.
And do you do anything special for Christmas? Do you like doing English? Did the English have like a Christmas dish like that's different from the United States, or do you just do like turkey and the normal American stuff?
We do. The one thing we've always done that we used to do at home, which is to have tree presents. In the afternoon, there's a little present under the tree for everybody. And that used to be from my childhood, that there was a tree present too. That's kind of fun because you open the presents and then sort of there's a letdown by the afternoon. And then at tea time, oh, there's a little present under the tree. That's nice. So, and of course in England they get Boxing Day too, so you get 2 days off. Whereas here, horribly, everybody has to go back to work the day after Christmas.
And isn't there something called like figgy pudding or pudding or something?
Oh, Christmas pudding. Yes, the Christmas plum pudding is that sort of dark brown, sticky, fruity thing that you have with the brandy sauce over it.
Oh, okay.
I like it, and John likes it. None of the rest of our family do, so we sometimes do a little tiny one, but nobody else likes it, so it's not something we do anymore. Mm. And in England, of course, they used to, if you made it, used to put little silver charms and coins in it, and if you got one of those, you know, it was a lucky thing to find, or it foretold the future. If you got a boot, a silver boot, it meant you were going to travel and all sorts of things, so it was kind of fun.
Wasn't that in one of the books where Queenie did that and somebody almost died or something?
Mrs. Simpson got a button in her.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
It's fun to do things with that. No, we have a very very laid-back traditional Christmas. I do turkey and ham and, everybody's too many presents. The whole place is full of presents. If you can imagine 15 people all giving each other something. But it's lovely. It's really nice to have the whole family together, and that's good.
I forgot another tease for this book. Is Georgie, you know what? But I'm not going to say what.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? Darcy asked her a certain question. I'll tell you when we finish.
All right. Okay.
All right. Well, Reese Bowen, it's always a pleasure talking to you. From Cradle to Grave, A Royal Spine is out on the 18th. Hopefully, we'll talk to you again when the next book comes out.
Thanks so much, Mark.
All right.
Talk to you again soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.